according to John, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After he had appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they'd finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Although I need a volunteer. Do I have a volunteer? All right. Everyone else is saying, "I don't know." She wants me to volunteer. All right. What I need you to do is stand right over here. All you have to do is hold this one sign. All right? Okay. What I need all of you to do is tell me what this says. All right? You see it?
Yeah.
McDonald.
Okay. What does it say?
McDonald.
McDonald. All right. Thank you. All right. How about this?
McNeil.
Okay. Again?
McNeil.
Okay.
Machine.
Thank you. All right. You're more clever than I thought, because sometimes people would say, what? Mekind. Now, why would you say Mekind if you did? You got it.
First two.
Because it's all of the first two. If it's McDonald, if it's McNeil, then it should be Mekind. But it isn't.
In some places it might.
In some places it might, but we know it's machine. That's the thing. We have a God of surprises, so that we know that things usually follow a pattern, just as we saw the McNeil, the McDonald. They follow a pattern. We're used to seeing people, when they die, they stay dead.
And Jesus did not follow that pattern because he was raised from the dead and he started making appearances. And in our gospel reading today, he appeared in another place where they were not expecting him to be. As one of our hymns said, we have a God of surprises. In this Easter time, we need to open ourselves up to the surprising places where we are going to find Jesus and to realize that that old pattern has been broken. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Thank you.
So, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In our gospel reading today, we have Jesus' third appearance to his disciples, his fourth resurrection appearance in the Gospel of John. His first two appearances were on the day of his resurrection. The first was to Mary Magdalene, who did not recognize him and thought he was the gardener. The second, that evening, was to the disciples gathered in fear in a locked room, all except for Thomas. The third was a week later in that same locked room, but this time Thomas was present. Thomas, who had asked to share in the experience of seeing the risen Christ, and in doing so cried out, "My Lord and my God." We are not told how much time has elapsed, but at least seven of the disciples have now left that locked room in Jerusalem and returned to their home in Galilee. Thomas is there, along with Simon Peter, Nathanael, James and John, who are the sons of Zebedee, and two unnamed others. And Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." Whether it's because he has returned to his old life or doesn't know what else to do with himself, he is going fishing. And the others say, "Well, if you're going fishing, we're going with you." They fished all night and caught nothing. At daybreak, Jesus appeared to them, but not too surprisingly, they don't recognize him. Because so far, all of the appearances of Jesus have been in Jerusalem. Perhaps they do not expect him to show up anywhere else. He tells them to cast their net to the right side of the boat. They do so and are unable to haul up the large catch of fish. At this, one of the disciples recognizes him. Peter, we're told, hastily puts on some clothes and jumps into the water while the others come to shore in the boat, which seems the more logical way of doing things, dragging the net full of fish. And after everyone is ashore, they see a charcoal fire with fish on it. And Jesus called to them to bring some of their fish. So they hauled the net ashore. We're told it was a catch of large fish, 153 large fish, yet the net was not torn. 153 large fish. How many of you fishermen have ever caught that many large fish? It's a lot of fish. It's a sign of God's abundance and an overflowing of God's blessing. Jesus told them to bring some of the fish, which initially seems like a strange request. After all, we've been told there are already fish cooking on the fire. So why is he asking that they bring some of the fish they've just caught? What he's doing is asking them to participate in his work in the world. They're not just to be recipients of God's generosity, but to be givers themselves. Jesus then said, "Come and have breakfast." By this time, all of them know that it is Jesus. Jesus takes the bread, gives it to them, does the same with the fish. And so they had breakfast together on the shore. Can you imagine having breakfast with Jesus? What would you say to him as you sat by the lake? Or would you be too awestruck to say anything? We're told that there was a charcoal fire on the shore on which the fish were being cooked. The last time that a charcoal fire was mentioned, it was the night of Jesus' arrest. Peter was standing with a group that was warming themselves around such a fire. And he was asked, "You're not one of this man's disciples, are you?" We know what Peter said. "I am not." And again he was asked, "You're not one of his disciples, are you?" And again he said, "I am not." And another person said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" And Peter again denies it. And then what happens? Arr! Yeah, exactly. The cock crows. This fulfilled what Jesus had said to Peter. "Very truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times." And Peter must remember this. He must remember that denial. And what must it be like to be right there with Jesus, knowing what you have done? What's Jesus going to say? Now, after they'd finished breakfast, Jesus looks at Simon Peter and doesn't say the words that Peter is expecting. Instead, he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" It's not clear what he meant by "more than these." More than Simon Peter loves the other disciples? More than the other disciples love Jesus? More than Peter loves fish? But whatever is meant, Peter's response is, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus replies, "Feed my lambs." And a second time, Jesus asks Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus says, "Tend my sheep." And a third time, Jesus asks, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And now Peter feels hurt and says, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." See, for each of the denials that Peter made on the night of Jesus' arrest, he now is asked to make a profession of his love. And he does so. And then he's being told that he needs to put that love into action by putting down his fishing nets, by leaving his old life behind, and by taking up the shepherd's staff, tending and feeding those who are part of Jesus' flock, those who love and follow Jesus. He is to exercise leadership in the early church, to step out in faith and in love and in service. But he's also told what will happen to him. Do you remember the hymn that we sang every Sunday during Lent?
I have decided
what?
To follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. And Peter, in making these statements, has made that profession that he indeed will follow Jesus, no turning back, no matter what. And he's told that if he does so, that one day he will die in a way that will glorify God. Although Scripture does not reveal how or when Peter died, it is often stated that he died in Rome, condemned to death by crucifixion, but because he did not consider himself worthy to suffer the same death as Christ, he was crucified upside down. Although we do not know for certain how or when he died, it is safe to say that Peter died a martyr, fulfilling what he had once told Jesus, "I will lay down my life for you." In today's gospel, Jesus feeds his disciples and then sends them into the world to care and feed others. When we come to worship, we are nourished with God's gifts of word and sacrament that strengthen us so that we can go into the world for service to our neighbors and to all of creation. Whatever our ages, Whatever our stage in life is, we all have work to do. And at this time, I would like us to affirm our vocations using the affirmation of Christian vocation found on page 84 of our hymnal. I'll give you time to turn to that if you like to. You don't really need to. Page 84. Brothers and sisters, siblings in Christ, beloved children of God, both your work and your rest are in God. Will you endeavor to pattern your life on the Lord Jesus Christ in gratitude to God and in service to others, at morning and evening, at work and at play, all the days of your life? If you do, please state, "I will," and I ask God to help me.
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Almighty God, by the power of the Spirit, you have knit these your servants into the one body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Look with favor upon them in their commitment to serve in Christ's name. Give them courage, patience, and vision, and strengthen us all in our Christian vocation of witness to the world and of service to others, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us join together in our hymn of the day. What wondrous love is this? It is number 666.